Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts.
We know how wonderfully cooperative our Washington politicians tend to be when it comes to working out their differences. I don't need to list the details, but there is one issue where things may be different. It's the lunch issue on Capitol Hill. Reporter Marin Coggan came across a comment from a congressional aide, just a few lines, and it turned into her story for the New Republic. Hey, vegetarians, Congress doesn't like you. Marin, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
So those few lines, what were they and who wrote them?
It was just a short blog post in one of the Capitol Hill newspapers about these congressional vegetarians who had attempted to get some better vegetarian options in the Capitol Hill cafeterias and had seen it turn into a big partisan special interest fight.
So what was the story here?
Well, a few months ago, a few of these Vegetarian Hill staffers were getting together and talking about how bad they thought their vegetarian options were on Capitol Hill. And so they did what like-minded people do in Washington. They decided to form a caucus. Now, the caucus was meant to be educational and bipartisan, but one of the first things they wanted to do was write the caterers of some of the Capitol Hill cafeterias and ask for a meeting introducing better vegetarian options onto the menus. They never heard back, but a few weeks later, a sign went up in one of the cafeteria buildings advertising a meatless Monday. So they were just going to have one kiosk in one of the cafeterias offering meatless options once a month. It turned into a huge partisan special interest fight that they never even asked for.
And what form did this fight take? And did this sign go up as a result of the letter that they wrote?
They never heard back, so they're not entirely sure. I did a little bit of digging around on this, and it turns out that it was just one catering staffer that just put up a sign. He was new to Capitol Hill and maybe didn't understand the political implications of this, but this one sign went up, and a farm industry lobbyist saw the sign, called another farm industry lobbyist, and they got together and wrote a letter on behalf of the Farm Animal Welfare Coalition, which is a coalition of different farm industry groups, decrying Meatless Monday as an acknowledged tool of the environmental and animal rights communities.
And did the environmental and animal rights communities respond to that?
Well, they weren't even aware previously that this was happening. So they sort of inadvertently found themselves in the middle of this fight. The caterers apologized immediately once it became controversial, and the vegetarians never heard anything back from them. Now, the vegetarians are saying, you know, we don't care about the Meatless Monday. We just want some better options on Capitol Hill. But they've sort of unwittingly found themselves in the middle of this big argument that they didn't ask for and that they, you know, hasn't solved any of their problems.
Now, I understand that as different parties come into power, what happens in the cafeterias changes.
Yeah, it's more of an ideological battleground than you might think. I remember in 2011, not long after John Boehner took over the House, and we all came into the cafeteria and found that the compostable cutlery and takeaway cases and cups that Nancy Pelosi had introduced in her time as speaker had been replaced with plastic and styrofoam. Even the coffee was different. So, you know, lunch in Washington looks a lot like everything else. It's really partisan.
Okay, so now wait. If the Democrats hold the Senate, is the Senate cafeteria any friendlier, for instance, to the vegetarians?
Well, you know, it really varies. There are so many different cafeterias on Capitol Hill, and, you know, most people just go to whichever one is closest. So the Senate one is smaller, but the House office building cafeterias tend to be a little bit better than the ones in the Capitol. It just depends on where you go.
And what are the vegetarian choices that they have?
Again, it depends on where you go. I eat most days out of the House Capitol cafeteria in the basement, and it's really just a salad bar or a grilled cheese. And you don't want to eat grilled cheese every day, or maybe you do, but it's not the best idea. So really, a salad bar is your only option. It's a little bit different in other office buildings, but I don't think any vegetarian would claim that they have wonderful options all over Capitol Hill.
So you cover Capitol Hill and you cover political issues. What's your long view of this?
Well, I think this small story about a group of Capitol Hill vegetarians trying to get better options in the place that they go to work every day is kind of evidence of everything that is wrong with Washington. It became a big theatrical partisan fight, and it didn't need to be. They just wanted better lunch. So if you're looking for evidence of why it is so difficult to do the legislative sausage making on Capitol Hill, just look at how difficult it is for these Vegetarian Hill staffers to get vegetarian sausages introduced in their cafeterias.
Thanks for talking with us, Maren.
Thanks for having me.
Maren Coggan is writer-at-large for National Journal.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.